Hey guys, welcome to the Breakpoint Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
And my name is Tej.
So, literally, and Emmanuel are a bit under the weather. They come with the podcast recording today. We wish them well. If you are listening and you know them personally, reach out to them and tell them to get close. Of course, we're recording this remotely from different parts of Lagos, Nigeria. And if there's any noise you're hearing in the background, that's the noise of Lagos, Nigeria. The generator, power generators. Because there's hardly any power most of the time. So you're hearing like a symphony of generators. And I don't know if there's noise in your own side.
Please bear with us, yeah.
Please bear with us.
It's probably like music noise and all that from the streets. But yeah, we're good.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, so interesting stuff going on around startups and technology in Africa. But let's start on the lighter note.
Yes.
Heartbreak was trending on Twitter yesterday. Nigeria Twitter.
Yes.
People were sharing their breakup stories. Relationship breakup stories. Their heartbreak
stories. I was there to jump on the trend.
Yeah. Not relationship breakup, sorry. Relationship heartbreak stories. Yeah, we decided to jump on the trend because we wondered, if people have relationship heartbreak stories, then startup founders should also have investor heartbreak stories. And people shared a lot of, it was so funny, so many things that people shared. Onyeka Akuma, found Crowdy CEO and co-founder and founder, said one of them said our idea was terrible, assembled his younger brothers and launched the same idea 6 months later with our pitch deck and IM in hand. You can imagine. And it's not just him, other people had
IM in hand.
A lot of other people had that same experience where they say, your idea is trash or your idea is good, and then they take your pitch deck and go and start another company. And then of course there are stories about valuation too. Someone said
valuation too.
Even the Paystack CTO and co-founder Ezra. He said why they were raising seed fund for Paystack. Why they were raising the seed round for Paystack? What they were told the investor was, at best you are worth 1/10 of your asking valuation. We are ready to write you a $50,000 check. If you concede. They didn't concede. And the good news, we all know the good news, they are now valued at over $200 million. So, first of all, like, some of the stories are sad. Did you see anyone that you liked? That you found funny?
Well, there was one that Wally shared over the, over our chat.
Yeah, what's up?
So, it was about, this guy was offered 2 million naira for 50% stake.
2 million naira.
His business, right?
Not even dollars, naira.
2 million naira.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Then the investor was like, you have to step down as CEO for his own son.
On top of 2 million naira. My goodness, how much is 2 million naira?
That's 2 million like naira less for 50%. That's just crazy.
For 50%. Oh my goodness.
It should be like $4,000.
Crazy stuff. And we have founders from Kenya and Ghana also sharing their stories. So, very interesting and funny stories. People are still discussing it on. You can go to our Twitter handle, TechPointGOTNG, and share your stories if you have any. Or reply, email us later. We'll put links to the tweets and the thread and everything in the description. Let's move on to serious things. Okay, so, in fairness to local investors, there are a lot of stories or bad stories about local investors, and investors also have bad stories about startup founders. But the truth is, building a startup in Africa is just hard. But in fairness to local investors, some of them are kind of doing putting their money where their mouth is, I guess. Yeah, you wrote a story about that, the Future Africa Fund by ex-Angela Flutterwave co-founder in Yabuji. What's that about?
So, Future Africa, so they call themselves a platform that provides capital, coaching, and community service for African startups and founders, right?
Yeah.
So, it's founded by Yoruba Aboyeji, the co-founder of Flutterwave and Angela, right? So he's not actively running any of them now. He's focused on Future Africa. So, I mean, when he was at Flutterwave and Angela, he actively invested in some startups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Independently and with some other people. But it wasn't until January this year that they, made it a firm, like a VC firm, to actively invest in startups through the firm, not just their personal checks. Mm-hmm. So he did it with Andela co-founder too, and Andela co-founder Nadia Negesi, who is also a co-founder of Eden Life.
A
concierge service in Nigeria. So since back in January, right, when they first launched, so on their portfolio on their website, we saw that they had like 14 startups there, and that was before like the pandemic, you know, struck.
Yeah.
The pandemic struck. Like the initial goal was for them to invest $1 million throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
$50,000 in 20 startups. So the pandemic struck, and since they could not actively raise from other VCs because that was their model initially, so they had to look for other ways to raise money. So they launched the Future Africa Collective and Future Africa Rolling Fund. So the Future Africa Collective, in a nutshell, is get investors from all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get them to pay subscription fees. And with a subscription fee of
$1,000
for individual investors, like, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And for institutional investors, like VC firms, established ones, they get to pay $10,000.
So
this gives them
the subscription
access.
Fee, is it part of what they invest in, or is it just a subscription fee? That's what it is. It's aside the money they will invest.
Subscription fee.
Okay.
Yes.
And
so
they
get access to 20 startups.
Okay, go on.
Okay, yeah. So when you get access to, like, so for the subscription fee, you get access to 20 startups
mm-hmm.
that you can invest in a year, right?
Yeah.
So when you're interested in investing, you now bring, the minimum check you can bring is $5,000 per individual investor.
Okay.
Yes. So you give it to, like, it's to the syndicates that are in charge of, you know, these funds. The syndicates are the partner and private VC firms that Future Africa is using. So
mm-hmm.
they invest on behalf of these individual investors and institutional investors that paid for these subscription services,
mm-hmm.
right? So
and they're supposed to match the amount, like 20% of the amount. I remember that.
Yes, exactly.
So they will bring at least 20% of
themselves,
the amount.
At least 20%.
Yeah.
So for example, if it's raising $1 million, Future Africa has to bring 20%, no less than that, of, you know, that, so less 20% of that is 200K.
Okay.
So other investors will bring the 800K.
Okay.
So that's how they decide to bring more funds on the table to invest in more startups. So they have 125 investors on that, you know, Future Africa Collective Fund.
Okay.
And they also have the Future Africa Rolling Fund, Venture Rolling Fund. This one, you know, like, you just bring $10,000 for a year, right?
Mm-hmm. And
for per quarter, right? $10,000 per quarter. So
mm-hmm.
in a year, that's 40K. So this 40K, they just help you to invest in different startups across Africa. So,
okay. So I mean,
investments have matured yet. So we don't know how they will be in the future. But from what we gathered,
mm-hmm.
For this, the Future Africa Collective, any returns that these investors make, they will have to pay Future Africa 20% of that return, regardless of, you know, any amount they make.
Okay.
20% of the profits. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Like, so far, how have they done? Have they been active?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, they've raised over 500K from the Rolling Fund Venture and 1 million across the three, schemes. Their normal fund, the Rolling Fund, and the Collective. So they use this money to invest in 9 startups in just the third quarter of this year.
So they've been quiet since January, but they just finally invested in the third quarter. Is what you're saying?
Yes. January, they just, you know, made everything official. We are here and all that. So from that time until July, there was no, like, really active investment. I think their first one was Tambua Health, a Kenyan-based startup. So just that third quarter, July, August, or September, they invested in 9 startups, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what, 1 million across these guys.
What I find interesting is they are helping local investors who, I mean, the general perception is that local investors don't have a high risk appetite. So they usually come in with small checks, requesting for so much.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are doing now is they are helping local investors gather and saying, okay, bring a minimum of $5,000. We'll pool all your resources together and then invest a valuable amount. I think $25,000 to $100,000 in each startup, right? So we invest that on
25K to 250K.
Okay.
Uh-huh. For, yeah,
we invest that.
That's the average round for like a startup.
And they can now have like small pieces of the pie. Okay, that's interesting. I mean, it's good to see that. So we should always, when we see local investors also like playing their part too, because it's not easy to be honest in Africa. We should also talk about that. So that's cool stuff. Let's move on to another interesting news. If you paid attention on Twitter on Monday, Adewale Yusuf, CEO and founder of TechPoint Africa, talked about stepping down as the publisher of TechPoint Africa. That was on Monday.
Yes.
And then on Wednesday, he announced his next move. Heritage Union, you interviewed him about that. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, so Adewale Yusuf, like you said, is our CEO and co-founder. So he stepped down, like you said, on Monday. And before that, there was this conference that Berlin conference meetup that we organized back in 2018, right, where the TechPoint team went to Berlin to meet up with developers and with African developers there, right, in the diaspora. So I mean, there they decided to actively build talent on the continent, but progress was not being made. But Wale thought, he had to do something about it, personally, even if nobody was going to do it collectively. So he, decided to launch another project, that focuses on hiring, developing, and managing talent, African talent, for global companies. So that's the tagline for the new project starting.
Which that sounds is called like Talent
QL.
Talent
yes,
QL.
Exactly.
Yeah.
QL, yeah. So, the QL, I think, is Quiet Location or something. So, yeah.
Talent Quiet Location.
The first Talent, Quiet Location. So, it's in reference to where the first campus of, the company will be in Ile-Ife, Osun State. So, what Adewale and his co-founders, his co-founders are Opeyemi, Awoyemi, the co-founder of Jobberman, and Sultan Akintunde, founder of DevCareer. So, Jobberman, most of us know, is like Africa's largest online recruitment, platform. So, Opeyemi has, expertise in this, recruitment process. And Sultan, on the other hand, has, expertise in the developer recruitment platform, via DevCareer. So, with their knowledge in the field and everything, it shows that, these guys know what they're doing, at least for now. I don't know what the future holds for them, but because, like you said, it's like an Andela. But they are trying to set themselves apart in the sense that, so there's something they call the talent pipeline, where Andela now, before Andela switched their model, what they did was to train junior developers and put them on a salary, right? Depending, even if they didn't get any work, but they were on a salary. But what Talent QL is trying to do is, they will liaise with companies and tell them that they will get them developers, right? But these companies will have to pay these developers, not Talent QL paying them. I don't know if, they run a 6-month program with this company. Yes, so if the company wants to retain those developers, fine, but the money is not coming from Talent QL. What Talent QL is saying that these developers are in your pipeline, so should any senior developer leave in your company, or even junior developer, you can just, pick one of these guys and replace them with, instead of looking to hire outside of, pasting for controls and all that.
So there's only a problem for both foreign and local tech companies that need, or any companies that need talent.
Talent, yes, exactly. So it will be interesting to see how they do going forward, because, there are lots of people in this space, but I think the only thing that differentiates them is the talent pipeline stuff and the fact that they are not in Lagos. So that Lagos thing is a big factor to them. So they want to train developers, manage the ones outside Lagos, first of all in Ile-Ife, right? Adewale said something about, this opportunity, this talent, they moved to Lagos because of Lagos had the opportunities. But now seeing that, Ife might have these similar opportunities, they will stay there. So it's an interesting project from the way I see it for now. So kudos to, good luck to him and his co-founders on this project.
Yeah, good luck to them. I really like the idea behind the new thing. I mean, it's not as rough, or not as much hustle and bustle as Lagos. So the camera life, there's good power, electricity compared to Lagos. There's no traffic. Cost of living is lower, so you have more a higher purchasing power. And to be interesting to see over the years what to do, whether to attract more talent towards the area. Of course, the decision to set it up in Ileife is also has to do with the school, the university, University, and all the universities all around the Ife. So many universities. So interesting stuff. And we look forward to more stuff coming out. Yeah, let's go to another interview. All we have to do is good news, just good news. Okay, apart from the heartbreak stories, Kuda Bank, the digital bank, raised $10 million in seed investment. Seeds, $10 million in seed. That has to be like one of the largest, even the largest in Africa for a seed round.
Yeah, I mean, in comparison to Paystack Series A of $8 million, we see that this is very impressive.
Exactly. How do they do it? I'm wondering, like, okay, first of all, what do they do? I know they're a digital bank.
Yes, so there is this popular term being used to address digital banks. They call them mobile challenger banks, right?
Yeah.
So mobile challenger banks are like, you know, smaller digital banks that compete with already established banks without having a physical location. So they do almost everything that normal banks would do, but they don't just have any physical presence. Like, you can't just go there and, you know, lay complaint and everything and do things that you normally do in a normal physical bank.
Yeah.
Every process they have is online. So you order for your cards online, you make payments online. So everything is completely online, right? So Kuda Bank started as Kudi Money in 2016.
Yeah.
And when it started, it wasn't until last year that they made like significant headway, because they got banking license from the central bank to operate. So after, like, in June, when they got the license, I think in September, they now closed their pre-seed round, $1.6 million, which, in my opinion, is the biggest pre-seed round in Nigeria. Because if you compare it to what Okra raised earlier this year, it's a $1 million, which these guys added $600K on top, so $1.6 million. I think it's the biggest pre-seed round in Nigeria. So, I mean, after the pre-seed round, they partnered with some banks, right, to offer digital cards to their users. So the users could go to those banks, their ATMs, and withdraw money. So GT Bank, Access Bank, Zenith Bank, all these banks are in Nigeria. So they do everything that normal offline normal banks would do. So they have about 300,000 customers, and they're processing about $500 million, you know, per month, worth of transactions per month.
That's huge.
So
seeing
that they want to expand outside Nigeria, they raised another fund, $10 million, one of the largest in Africa. I mean, if we're counting the $40 million that PalmPay
raised. Some people are arguing that PalmPay is actually the largest seed round, but I don't know if we call that a seed round. Because at the time they launched, with offices and stuff. I don't know if we call it a seed round. That's debatable.
Very debatable.
I will join the party that says Kuda Bank is the largest seed round actually. Because I really don't know if I could call Kuda and pump is $40 million a signal. I really don't.
Startup.
Yeah. But that's good stuff. I mean,
It's interesting that other investors that invested in other mobile challenger banks across Brazil, UK, and US also invested in Kuda. Because, I mean, you probably see the potential for them to become big. Maybe in the future, we might see this. Other challenger banks, for example, Nubank, Revolut, Chime, coming to expand and acquiring them like Stripe did Paystack. So it's another win for the fintech space in Nigeria. I'll say that.
I mean, the fintech space is hot right now. Acquisitions, record breaking, funding rounds.
Yeah, rounds.
The darlings of the startup ecosystem in Africa right now. And of course, we now have beyond fintech startups, we now have the ones that offer the APIs, like Mono and Okra.
Yes, the API.
So that's the next thing now that's going on. I already did a story about that. We'll put a link to that also in the episode. Yeah,
yes.
It's good news. I mean, this is just a reminder that the Nigerian youth are not lazy. The African youth are not lazy.
At all.
With the right environment, innovation, and all that,
Thrive.
They do great things. So congrats to Kuda Bank, the co-founders, Babs Ogunde and Mustafa
Musti.
Yeah. Congratulations to them. That's great news. And really, really great news. Guys, don't forget, we still have the West African Startup Decade Report with lots of insight. For example, we mentioned talent pool moving to Ife because of the talent around there.
Yeah.
Apparently, most of the West African startups that raised above $1 million cumulatively in the last 10 years. About 20% of them.
Yeah,
right?
About that.
A large number of them. Yeah, a large number of them got their first degree at the Oba Femi Awolowo University in
Lagos. Stuff.
And lots of interesting insights to the low rate of female founders, just 10%. Mm-hmm. All the interesting insights, you can get them on the West African Startup Decade Report. We'll put a link in the episode notes for that. Emmanuel is not here to tell them where they can get the podcast, but Eric, can you take a shot at that?
Okay, so you can get your podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
And you can also go to podcast.tech.africa if you don't like the apps. All those apps are there. You can also get them there, search with keywords.
Don't go to SoundCloud.
Don't forget, we'll put. Yeah, don't go to SoundCloud. We'll stop uploading there. Don't go to SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Of course, we still have our sister podcast, Built in Africa.
Built in Africa.
And we release episodes bi weekly. The new episode will be coming out on Monday, so watch out for that. Also, subscribe to Built in Africa. And don't forget to share and subscribe this podcast and Built in Africa to all your friends, all your family. And we'd like to read your founder heartbreak stories at the House of Local Investors.
Or if you're an investor, yes, we'll put the link to share your
Yeah. All right. Any last words, Heritage?
Yeah. I mean, if you know Nifemi and Emmanuel personally, you can send them gifts and well wishes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That and
yeah, stay we'll safe. Them hopefully, they'll be back for the next time. All right, so take care, guys, and thanks for listening. Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.